Okay. Right. Let's talk about choosing your champion. Let's go to the picture of this guy. Does anyone know who this guy is? Anyone know that guy? Not personally. You, Bruno. Anyone, what movie is it from? From the movie Troy. Okay. This guy is called Boagrius. Okay, he's big and tough, right? He's from the ancient city of Thessaly. He's the biggest and toughest guy in the Thessalian army. Because the biggest and toughest, he's the biggest, they choose him as their champion. He's never been defeated. And so the Thessalians have done really well in battle. Not many people are big enough or brave enough to fight Boagrius. On the other side, can anyone identify this guy? He's Brad Pitt, but in the movie, he's playing a guy called Achilles. He's a Myrmidon. That's another Greek city. He's not as big, but he's a famous warrior. And supposedly, no one's able to beat him in a fight. He's invincible. And because he's such a good fighter, the Myrmidons have made him as their champion. So we have Achilles versus Boagrius. The champion of one team versus the champion of another. There are two large armies. If these large armies were to fight, then a lot of people would be wounded. You'd get lose lots of soldiers. To stop everyone having to battle together, each side chooses a champion and brings them together and they fight. And whatever happens with your champion, that's the result of the contest, just like we had today. They come out to battle. Everyone else is watching and waiting. One of them would win, and that's how the battle would be decided. Everyone else gets to go home alive. It's kind of a pretty civilized way of dominating the world. Each side gets to choose their champion. The champions battle it out, and whoever wins, they win. The other side gets nothing. After they get overtaken. Now, is there a story in the Bible that works this way? This big guy sling, yeah. David and Goliath works exactly the same way. It's champion warfare. That's how we decided the battle that was on today. Left side of the room versus the right side. Not everyone could fight, but you chose a champion to represent you in the contest. If that person did well, your team did well. But if they failed, you failed and got nothing. So this type of contest is called champion warfare. It's a very common thing in the ancient world. Many cultures in history used this type of warfare to win their battles. A champion from one side fights against the champion from the other side. If you win, your side wins. If your champion loses, you lose. You get nothing. So we get the concept. Now, today is Easter Sunday. We know that. It's the day Christians throughout history celebrate Jesus coming alive from the dead. Now, why are we having a choosing your champion competition on Easter Sunday? Why are we talking about champion warfare on Easter Sunday? Is it just to hand out chocolates to the victory team and prove the superiority of this side of the room over that side? Though, that would be a worthy goal, right? Although you guys might not agree. It's not just to do that. We're talking about champion warfare because you have to understand champion warfare if you want to understand what Easter's all about. The concept of champion warfare there's a clue in this concept that helps you understand what Easter's about. Now, here's a table. This is a table. This tells us how Australians pass away. How do we die? It says the highest is heart disease. It's a little bit different each year, but that's the highest each year. There's all these other ways that people die, including accidents. And when you look at it like this with all the figures, it makes human life look like a war zone because all these people are passing away from all sorts of things. Now, for genetic reasons or lifestyle reasons, we might be more at risk of one type of death than another, but the inevitable conclusion of this research is everybody dies of something. That's the unavoidable conclusion of this research. There was no Australian that won't ultimately appear on those statistics at some point. It is inevitable from the moment we are born. We're going to get onto that table somewhere. There's a few things we can do to prolong our life, maybe make life a little bit better over time, but nothing we can do to keep ourselves off that table to stave off the inevitability of death. So if that's true, then we can understand a humanity as a whole, all of us and each of us, is in a battle against death. We want to live. We want to live for as long as possible. We want to be as healthy as possible for as long as possible. That's all okay. But there's an enemy that stands against us. This enemy is death. As a human race, and as individuals in the human race, we have an enemy, and it is death. And the bad news, according to these statistics, or any other statistic you want to gather, death wins every time. Every human being. But this is where the concept of champion warfare comes in handy. If you think about the battle against death, think about it as a case of champion warfare. Then we understand why death comes to everyone. It's because as the human race, we have not had a champion who stood up for us in this battle and won the victory. We struggle in the battle, but we haven't got a champion to win for us. Now, Paul the Apostle reflects on this situation, the fact that we face death without a champion for us. And he says this. He says that death came through a single human being. So he thinks about death. He realizes that death works like champion warfare. Death came through a single human being. We had a champion. The very first human being, Adam, but unfortunately, our champion Adam lost the battle against sin and death. And because he lost the battle, because he was the first human, he was our champion. And because he lost the battle, remember the rules of champion warfare. What happens if your champion loses? You get nothing. You suffer the consequence. If your champion wins, you win. But if your champion loses, you get nothing. So death has come to everyone because Adam sinned and he was our champion. We were born into that. If your champion loses the battle, the whole team loses. Paul states it very clearly in the next verse. In Adam, all die. Those who had Adam as their champion have all died because Adam lost the battle. He was trying to stand up for all his descendants, but he failed. And because he was our champion in the battle with death, he lost the battle. We too lose the battle. Our champion lost, and so we also lose the battle against death. That's what we're born into. That's the bad news. It agrees with the statistics. It agrees with human life in general. We're heading towards the grave with Adam as our champion. But Paul doesn't stop with Adam as our champion. He knew something perhaps that not everyone was aware of. He knew another battle with death had occurred. It's like there was a second round. Death tried to pull off a title defense and crush the next challenger, but then the next challenge, it looked like he'd lost the battle. Good Friday, it looks like this champion going into battle has also lost to death. But something unusual happens in the fight against death with this second champion. And that's where we're talking about Easter. On Good Friday, Jesus goes to the cross. And he's our next champion. He's standing up for us, trying to win the battle against death. But he lost. He died. He perished. Hope was gone. Everyone was in despair. But Paul knew this battle against death is a case of champion warfare. He knew that after Jesus died on the Friday, something happened on the Sunday morning. And that's what we celebrate today. Jesus rose from the dead, changed everything. He became the champion who overcame death. And because he was a champion that overcame death, all those he represents also overcome death. So let's fill in a few more blanks. Through the resurrection of the dead comes also through a single human being, a champion. Victory over death comes through a single human being. It's not as if we can do it ourselves. Somebody does it on our behalf. in this rematch, this second battle with death, the new champion overcame death. He was raised to new life. That means that all those he represents are raised to new life. Paul tells us who the champion is and the victory he has achieved. In Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Jesus is the second champion. He fought against death. It looked like he'd lost, but he came out the other side and he actually won. Because he is our champion in the battle against death, all those who have him as their champion can overcome death. He died on Good Friday, but on Sunday morning he rose. Death was defeated. His rising from the dead was the victory over death. Now he is the champion over death, and that's good news for all people. Death through Adam, life through Christ, it all depends who your champion is. But at this point, we do have to bring up an issue. I kind of hear you thinking and asking. You may have made this observation. Christians, those who believe in Jesus, still die, just like everyone else. There's no immunity from death for anyone. What's the point of Jesus being our champion over death if we still die, just like everyone else? Now, that's a very significant issue and a good observation. Turns out there is no immunity over death for Christians, even those who follow Jesus closely. But the Apostle Paul saw the relevance of that question, and this is the answer that he gave. Let's read the whole lot. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a single human being, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a single human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So this victory that Jesus won for all the others, he was champion, he won for all those in him, is not immediate. The results are not immediate. He's won the victory. He's the champion of all those who will have a victory over death, but there is a time factor involved. He won the battle, but the benefits of the victory are not yet seen. Like in a war, you know, when a war, you can have the decisive battle, but you've got to sort things out. Treaties have got to be signed, assets transferred, lands and kingdoms sorted out, and then the final victory is declared. Christ is raised as the first fruits, it says. The first fruits is when, you know, when the tree is going to bear fruit. You might see a small fruit early in the season. And the good news for all those who follow Jesus is that his resurrection on Easter Sunday morning, that's the first piece of fruit on the tree. It's great to get that first piece of fruit, but that's an indication. Here's the first piece. There's a whole crop that's going to follow later on. And Paul says, what is that crop? It's all those who trust in Jesus. It's all those who've fallen asleep in him. All those who died in Christ. And he identifies, when is this crop going to occur? When is it going to be harvested? It says, those who belong to Christ will receive their share of the spoils of victory, their own participation in resurrection at his coming. When Jesus returns, that's when the resurrection, that's when we receive the spoils of this victory. The victory our champion won is enjoyed by us at his return. Now, early in the service, we selected champions to represent us. Choose your champion. Strength test, all the tests that we had, we wanted the best champion. So we chose a young guy who could do push-ups, right? The best one we could choose. We chose... For longevity, we chose the oldest, right? The person with the best chance of winning the competition. It makes sense to choose the best champion you can possibly choose because they're going to represent you in the event. Here's the good news. Jesus has died and has been raised from the dead. That means for each of us, not only do we have the possibility of selecting a champion who we think might do a good job in the fight against death, in Jesus, we can select a champion who has already overcome death. The battle's already been fought. He's already been raised. When we choose our champion, we have the guarantee that death will not have the victory over us, that we will share in his eternal life. At his return, we'll be raised with him to be with him forever. So it's certain our champion has already won the victory. The benefits of that victory will come to all those who choose him as their champion. Can you imagine being able to know the outcome of a battle before it's even fought? Imagine knowing the winner of the race before you place the bet. Or knowing the price of the stock before you buy it, or what it will be before you buy it. Now, if that was the case, you'd be on a sure thing. You know the outcome before you even make the decision. And that's our situation. We read about the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, and if we believe this and choose him as our champion, we're on a sure thing. Our sins are forgiven through his death. We have victory over death through resurrection. Not yet, but at his return, the battle has already been fought. The victory is guaranteed. But he has to be our champion for that to be true of us. And the Bible's clear. How do we make him our champion? We put our trust in him. We give our lives to him. Right at the core of the Christian hope is that Jesus has died for the forgiveness of our sins and has been raised to new life, a victory over death. Believe in this, make him your champion, you are set free from sin and you have the guarantee of eternal life. We receive all the benefits because our champion has won the victory on our behalf. I wonder if you've made Jesus your champion. Which team are you on in this life? Adam's team, which we're born into, weakness, sin, and death, that's what comes to Adam's team. Or Jesus' team, forgiveness, assurance of an eventual victory over death, which has already been achieved by Jesus on the cross. I wonder if you're prepared to identify as a follower of Jesus. Surrender control over your life to his guidance. Receive the forgiveness he has for you on the cross on Friday and the victory he won for you on Sunday. Now I'm going to put up a slide that has a prayer on it that might help codify this sort of idea to kind of sum up what we've been saying. So have a look, have a read through. It's a prayer that acknowledges our need of human beings for forgiveness. And a victory over death has been achieved on our behalf. Jesus is the champion who wins the victory for us. Now, if you'd like to pray this prayer, you know you can see it. There's nothing secret in it. But if that sums up what you believe about Jesus, that you believe he died as your champion, he rose as your champion, the spoils of the victory over death are yours, not yet, but when he comes again. There's assurance in that. So would you pray with me? I'm going to say it. Let's say it together. God, I realize I can't overcome death by myself. I need a champion who will win that battle for me. Thank you for the forgiveness Jesus won on Good Friday. Thank you for the victory over death Jesus won on Easter Sunday. Thank you that forgiveness and eternal life are mine as I surrender my life to Jesus and take him as my champion. Amen. Lord, would you bless our understanding that we can't do this ourselves, but that we have a champion in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died and been raised. The victory over death is assured, and that victory will be experienced by all who are in him, who have him as their champion when he returns. May we have the confidence to know, Jesus, you are our successful and victorious champion, and you share the spoils of your victory with us. In Jesus' name, amen.